The good news of God's love according to John.
Jesus said to the people of Jerusalem, I have much to say about you and much to condemn, but the one who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he was speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will realize that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but I speak these things as the Father instructed me. And the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what is pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. Jesus said to those who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free? Jesus answered them, very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. You might be having a little bit of gospel whiplash. For the past few weeks, we have been in the Gospel of Luke. It's been describing the journey of Jesus and his followers from Galilee to the city of Jerusalem. And soon we're going to bounce back to that gospel and that account of the journey. But every year on Reformation Sunday, we hear this reading from the Gospel of John about how God's truth has the power to make human beings free. In this passage, Jesus is speaking to the people of Jerusalem. He talks of being lifted up on a cross and how that will help people to see that he is one with his heavenly Father. That statement causes many of the people of Jerusalem to believe in him. Now, we tend to think of believing as accepting certain facts and certain church teachings about Jesus. But when this gospel uses the word believe, it means entering into a relationship with Jesus, a relationship that is grounded in trust and in hope. If he had been sent into the world to condemn human sin, Jesus would have much to say to condemn each and every one of us, but Jesus was sent to demonstrate God's unconditional love for us, a love that we do not deserve and we can never earn. Jesus was sent to free us from our slavery to sin by guiding us to the truth of God's love. Jesus invites people who are only beginning to place their trust in him to continue in his word, to abide and to dwell in this relationship, and to pattern their lives upon his teaching and his example. It is this patterning of their lives that will lead them to truth and lead them to freedom. Now, we are all taught that being free means being able to do what we want, when we want, and simply because we want. But that isn't freedom. That is slavery to a false sense of self, slavery to our compulsions and to our desires. The only true freedom is the freedom to give up those false freedoms and live your life for the sake of others. To have freedom is to embody the self-giving love of God. You cannot secure your own freedom. You are only free to embrace that love and that life when the Son of God sets you free. The Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans was written to a very diverse community of people who had begun to believe, entering into a relationship of trust with Jesus. Some of them had been devout Jews before they embraced the Christian faith. Some had been pagans who had worshiped the gods of Greece and Rome before they embraced the Christian faith. And in order to draw all of them closer to one another, Paul reminds them that they are all equal in their need of God's love and God's forgiveness. Paul writes of God's law, which condemns our sinful rebellion, and of God's gospel, the truth of unconditional love. The Jewish converts in Rome are in no way superior to the non-Jewish ones. All have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. Both groups should be condemned under God's law, but God's righteousness is revealed apart from the law, which doesn't mean in contradiction to the law. It just means alongside the law. God's steadfast love for us has always been revealed in both law and gospel, and in the interaction between them. The good news of the gospel is that God wants to be in relationship with us, and God will do whatever is necessary to have that relationship. The law was given to show us what God desires and to restrict our tendency to hurt and take advantage of each other. The law was given to demonstrate our desperate need for God's mercy and for the power of God to transform us from the inside out. The righteousness of God is revealed to us in the faithfulness of Jesus. God took on human flesh in order to show us the lengths to which divine love will go to save us. The righteousness of God is demonstrated by God making us righteous. The word justified means made righteous, turned into a righteous person through no effort of our own. God shows God's righteousness by making us righteous people. God makes us just to show that God is just. A sacrifice of atonement is a sacrifice that reunites things that have been separated. It makes us at one with God. God makes sinful and rebellious people to be righteous and just by uniting our trust in God to the trust shown by Jesus. Our faith in God is empowered by the faith of Jesus. We become people who have the faith of Jesus. God's guidance for how we are to live then becomes a part of us. It becomes natural to us, an aspect of who we are. As the prophet Jeremiah writes, God's laws are written upon our hearts. But we are still waiting and working for the day when everyone will know the Lord. We are still waiting and working for the day when war and violence will cease in all the earth. Life feels uncertain. Earthquakes and floods threaten. Political and economic upheaval are around us. The threat of war and violence is always present. And we have nothing to fear because God is with us. And God is always reforming, doing a new thing within each of us as individuals and within the community of faith that we are now creating together. Our life as a renewed community of faith needs to be grounded in the lived experience that we are loved and we are forgiven by God. Our mission as a congregation, more than feeding and clothing people or offering really awesome worship, must be to create a community of people who do abide, who continue in a life-giving relationship with Jesus. Alongside everything that has happened in the long histories of our two congregations, God is giving us a fresh start together so that we can get back to what we need to be, a community that entrusts itself completely to the love and mercy of God, a community that proclaims and that demonstrates the good news of that love. God reforms us. God brings things back to where they are supposed to be. God is making all things and all people new.